Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture today comes from Romans 8, verses 18 to 30. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
Thank you, Steph. Let's bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you that you're working it all out for our good, that you're a good father who loves your children, and that you're working things out despite whatever situations we may be facing in this room tonight. And for those of us who are watching online, I thank you, God, that in the midst of storms, you're always there. In the midst of sunshine, you're always there. You're the source of our blessing. You're the source of our strength. Sometimes, Lord God, you calm the storm for your children, and sometimes you calm your children in the midst of the storm. So I pray, Lord, you'd come and do that work in us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Everyone shouted amen. For those of you who are new here, I see a few new faces. Welcome, everybody. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Welcome, welcome. We hope you feel welcome. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have two locations. This is Every Nation Logan. We have our Every Nation Brisbane Central that meets in Kooparoo in the mornings. And so we're really glad that you would join us here today. And for those of you who are joining us online, welcome as well. We hope that you are blessed. It's just a blessing to have you with us tonight. We're in our series called Grace Changes Everything, where we're going through the book of Romans, and we are at the apex of the whole book of Romans when we talk about Romans chapter 8. I begin to think about how some commentaries describe Romans chapter 8 when through pastors like Jack Hayford or John Piper, calling it the most important chapter in the whole Bible. When you consider that Romans is probably the Himalayas of all of the Bible, Romans chapter 8 is the Everest. It's the Mount Everest of all of Scripture. And so as we're going through the Scripture, that's why we're spending a few more weeks on the Scripture. There's so much power in the statements that are in this passage. So the title of my message today as we go through this part of the passage is called For Good. Everybody say For Good. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking a little bit about how there's this battle between the spirit and the flesh, and I want to reiterate this by using this diagram and just talk about how our spirits can be affected by things that are around us. So you've got the spirit, which is the core of every single one of us. So each one of us has a spirit, and the spirit is the heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia, where we get the word cardiac from, but it's more than just the organ inside your chest that pumps blood to the rest of your body so that your body can function. It's the core of every single one of us that guides our lives. And if our spirit is not awakened, then we fall into a slumber and let outside forces dictate the way we live. On the outskirts of the spirit is that which we call the soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotion. So that's the part of every single one of you that makes decisions, that has feelings, and that thinks. That's your soul, okay? And then obviously outside of that is your flesh or your body. And this is dictated by your five senses, right? Yell out to me what the five senses are. Logan fam, yell out. Taste. Notice that was first. Taste, touch, smell. No, you don't. Sight and hearing. Yes. So those are the five senses. And this is what affects our flesh. This is how we receive from the rest of the world. But it's a matter of, do we allow those outside forces to drive our flesh, or are we spirit-led? And what Paul is writing in the book of Romans is that he's challenging all of us as believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our spirit. You know, John chapter 4 talks about God is spirit, and those who worship him in what? In spirit and in truth, right? And so if we worship him in our spirit, the Holy Spirit dictates to us how we should live. Because the opposite of living that way would be to live like a pinball. How many of you have ever played pinball before? You know, back in the day when I used to go play Spacey's at the takeaway, you know, before they actually had the machines, there were these things called pinball machines. Now they're all retro. They're back, you know, you go. Usually they're in places where, you know, you go to the arcade or you go to some of these pubs and or restaurants and they have these pinball machines. Everybody here played pinball before? Yeah? Okay, a few of us. Rest of you, I know you're busy reading your Bibles. That's all good. But like a pinball machine, usually it's spring-loaded and you pull back the knob and then you let it go and the spring forces a metal ball bearing, which is a ball that just rolls around and it hits all of these pads and these little bowels and stuff, but it just rolls around until and tries to make its way down because the machine is tilted in such a fashion where you only have control of the flippers, but it's engineered in such a way where there's a wide enough gap that no matter what happens, that ball's going to go through. But we live sometimes like pinballs. Can you imagine this, right? You just go over here, bump over to this thing, and ding, ding, ding over here, and then bump over here. How many of you know that God's given us a lot more purpose to our lives than just bumping into bumpers and just living life by accident? Right, that's what it means to live in the flesh, because if you're not living in the spirit, you're not living in his purpose on purpose. And so this is what we want to address here today. God has given you a plan and a purpose, and there is a purpose for your life. And what I'm going to hammer home is actually this verse that probably jumped out at you, because according to a survey that was done in the United States, it's the fourth most popular verse in the whole Bible. And that is this verse here, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, we're going to break this scripture down, this verse, in light of the rest of the surrounding passage, but I'm going to highlight it with five C's, and I want to encourage you to take notes, okay? Pull your phone out. I'm trusting that you're not, you know, playing Angry Birds or something. You're gonna take notes, because what I want you to do is remember this, okay? It's not gonna be much point getting the word of God in you going through one ear and out the other. So this is to help you to know this purpose so that you don't live like a pinball in a pinball machine. Are you ready? They all start with C to help you remember, okay? This is what pastors do. They love to alliterate in order to help the memorization. So the first C, breaking down from this verse, is certainty. Everybody say certainty. We know. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his person, to his purpose. Think about that for a moment. There are two types of Christians that are in this room. There may be some of us that aren't yet following Jesus, but some of us, all of us in this room need to understand that there's two types of Christians that may be in here today. There's the no-so Christians, and then there's the so-so Christians, right? There's those who absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that God knows what he's doing. And that's why Paul starts this verse by talking about, we know that God's working it out for our good. How many of you know that there's times that knowledge is tested, right? Like, it's one thing to know it, but then you hit a trial. Like, I know he's good. But if he's good, why is this pandemic running rampant throughout the world? And why is it that I haven't been able to go and visit my family back in NZ or back in the islands or even down in New South Wales or Victoria? Like, if he's good, why is this happening? Well, we'll explain it in a little bit, but we need to understand he's always good and he's working all things together for his good according to whose purpose? His purpose. See, his purpose is eternal. Ours is like 10 minutes long. We're thinking, if we don't get our way with the Wi-Fi, then, you know, things must be going wrong and we don't know what to do. Like, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Like I told you before, about 4 weeks ago, I know how to find where my kids are by just turning the Wi-Fi off. Then all of a sudden, like cockroaches, they just come out. What happened? Where's my life? I don't know. You know, like that's what can happen if we don't know our purpose, right? Like we just bump around in life and we let life happen to us. There are three types of people in the world today, right? Y'all remember this. Those who make it happen, those who watch it happen, and those who wake up in the morning and say, what happened? Are we going to be a we-know breed of people who follow Jesus, or are we going to be those who are so-so about our Christian? Do you know so, or are you so-so about your faith? And what I mean by so-so is that the moment a trial hits, you're like, I don't believe it's going to. So you come up with a plan B in your back pocket, the second C that we want to talk about. And we know that what? All things. So it means it's comprehensive. Everybody say comprehensive. Meaning that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. Now, don't read that verse and use the vernacular and say, oh, it's all good. How many of you know it's not all good? COVID is not good. Many of you know in this room that two Thursdays ago, we lost, in my family, we lost the brother-in-law, Tina's brother-in-law, to COVID-19. Like, praise God, he was a pastor down in the southern provinces in Mindanao in the Philippines. And we know that he's with Jesus now. But, like, to see somebody that you love dearly pass away in that fashion while he was, you know, in his early 50s, that's terrible. But we know that, and he would state himself as a pastor and as a preacher. He told his wife while he was on the respirator that I know God's got you and I know God's got us. It's not necessarily good that he passed away the way that he passed away, but we know God's working it out for a greater purpose. It's hard. You know, every single one of us in some shape or form has lost something due to this COVID-19, due to this pandemic. Some of us have lost employment. Some of us have lost financial gain. Some of us have lost the opportunity to see loved ones that we never thought we'd be able to. You know, we always took for granted that we'd be able to see them at any point in time, but because of the situation that we live in right now, it's hard to see that there's the comprehensive nature of God's goodness, that all things work together for the good of those who love him. When we look at this passage in Romans 8, where it talks about knowing that all things work together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose, we must take into account the passages that precede this verse. So we go back to the beginning of the passage that Steph read earlier. For I consider that the what? Say it loud. Sufferings. Okay, that, see, we like the Romans 8:28 on our refrigerator, but not necessarily the 8:18, right? How many of you have this verse on your fridge? You will now. Pastor Nelly, I'm going to write that verse and put it on my fridge. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The way that you can tell the true children of God is that they know that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. Even suffering, he's working it out for your good. See, we love the promises of God. We love the provision of God, but we don't like the process of God to get from the promise to the provision. We carry on reading. If we even reread that verse, Romans 8:28 from the New American Standard Version, check this part out. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. God is not necessarily the author of COVID-19, but he is certainly in his sovereignty allowed for us to face it, knowing that on the other side of this, we will be much stronger if we lean into him in our moments of weakness. He's working all things together for his good. And I know that as the body of Christ, not just Every Nation Brisbane, but across Brisbane, across Australia, and across the world, if we will remain the non-anxious presence that he has called us to be as the body of Christ, we are going to come out gold because he's working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let me go back to this verse again. We know that for those who love God, all things what? Work together for good. Working together. We call this cohesiveness. That's the third C. Cohesiveness. That God doesn't just save you just to save you, but he saves you to co-labor with you. He wants you to work together. The Greek word is synergeo, which we get the word synergy, because there's power when we walk alongside God and work alongside his plans and his purpose. God is at work in your situation. He doesn't just save you so that you can just sit there and watch him whip and watch him nay-nay. No, he wants you to get up and get active. He wants you to work alongside him, and he wants you to see the work that he's doing and see that he's working in you so that he can work through you. Check this verse out. Check this quote out. This is from Jerry Bridges, a theologian and an author. He says this way, God never allows pain without a purpose in the lives of his children. Wow. If you ever experience pain, ask him what may be the purpose. For some of us, it may be as simple as, oh, God, painful stomach. That may be a sign that maybe to stop eating so much pizza. I don't know. But he never allows Satan or any ill-intended person to afflict us unless he uses that affliction for our good. It's hard to see that at the time of the hurt, at the time of the suffering. I'm not saying and stating any of this without acknowledging the space to grieve and to mourn and to lament. God loves it when we do that, but do that towards him. And not in hopelessness, but trusting that Christ is that is in us is the hope of glory. You know, as a Samoan, I'm not saying this is for all Samoans, we're not a monolith, but like in my branch of the culture, you know, when we would cry as children, I don't know if this was any of your experience, like whenever you'd get hurt, and you'd cry, and you'd hear a father say, go, stop. And you'd be like, you know, trying to, doing what we call in Samoan the keke, you know, like, you know, inside you're like, rah, go, trying to hold it. Our Heavenly Father's not like that. He wants you to know, especially for my brothers in here, he wants you to know you're not any less of a man if you grieve and process. It's no wonder that the prevalent issue in our society is mental health, because we keep things bottled up. We don't have a place to express that. I want to invite you into the space of expressing that towards God. God loves when we take our hurts to him. He wants to heal you. And sure, it's a process. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen, like the shampoo commercial. Like just let him walk with you through it, whatever you're dealing with it. Again, all of us in this room have lost something during this season. And I'm not trying to highlight loss. And I'm not trying to highlight hurt as if we're lacking faith. You know what I'm saying? But what I am trying to say is there's power in lament towards a father who loves you and wants to carry you through those situations. He is Lord during the joy and the sorrow. And though sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes it's a long night. But know that the promise is that the sun will rise. The psychological as well as the spiritual term for that space that we call the process is called the liminal space. So if I was to look at that doorway that you came into this room, it's the space of exiting the old room and coming into the new room. That's what you call the liminal space. And a liminal space is not necessarily as short as the distance between the door frame itself. And as sometimes the archway is longer. It's like a tunnel. And have any of you experienced this in the spirit? Like, you feel like it's supposed to be a short doorway between where you were and where you're supposed to be, but then God takes you through what was supposed to be a doorway, and it seems like an endless tunnel of, why do I keep having to walk through this situation? When am I going to break through? And there's a temptation always to turn around and go back to the way things used to be. I want to remind you, in ancient Israel, in the book of Exodus, right, we're reminded of the fact that the people of Israel were released from slavery by God, by the power of God, took the most powerful man in the world at that time, the Pharaoh, to release. He changed his heart so that he would release the enslaved people of Israel, and they were released. But if you read the first two verses of the book of Deuteronomy, it actually says that it's an 11-day journey from Egypt to Canaan. from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, 11 days by foot. The next verse says, in the 40th year. Like it should have taken 11 days. But what's the issue? You see, God was more interested, and you've heard me say this before, God was more interested not in getting them out of the desert, but getting the desert out of them. Because they had a desert mentality. And so he took them to Mount Sinai, which is way off the track of the 11 days, in order that they would receive the 10 commandments. He took them on this long extended journey because he was trying to work things out in them. And even Moses himself, the one who received the promise and communicated it to, scholars would say, over 1 million Israelites that came out of slavery himself, he didn't even get to go into the promised land. You all know this, right? He didn't even get to go into Canaan. Why? Because he knew the real promised land was not the destination. The promised land was the presence of God. He was in the promised land the whole time in his leadership. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that God is not good even in the middle of the hardship of the process that you're walking through. God is there. When we can understand that in the dark night of our soul, when we're tempted to think those thoughts of darkness, that God is inviting us towards his chest and embrace to tell us that he is with us. He is still carrying us in his hope. He is life. He's not trying to rush you through a process. He's trying to make you stronger. And we need to pray this prayer. God, don't give me a platform or a promise that my character's not ready for yet. It's prayers like that that help to accelerate the process of all things working together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You all here tonight? I love you. We good? All right. And we know, I hope you're, I'm going to milk this verse until it's powder, man. I want you to get the most. It's like, you know, like in Samoan, we have the word, you know, for the lunch on Sunday, ko ngai. It's like my dad used to yell at me if, not yell at me, but like he used to tell me off if I didn't, you know, like finish the chicken on the bone, like if I still left remnants. Any of you have parents or uncles? You haven't even finished it. That's what we're going to do to Romans 8:28. We're going to chew on this thing until it's nothing but DNA left, all right? And we know that for those who love God, anybody in here love God tonight? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. The fourth C is closeness. Those who love God, he calls us into close relationship. And the best place to be when you're walking through a trial is close to God. There's every temptation to try and figure it out yourself. The enemy will be all up in your ear trying to tell you, God ain't got you, man. Forget God. And so the temptation, right? Well, as I'm talking about the Israelites that were in Egypt, remember some of the, you know, scripture tells us that some of them were like, man, slavery seems so much better than being here. And there's going to be trials. There's going to be moments, you know, like high moments when, oh, I give you my life, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. And you pray a prayer. How many of you know Christianity is a lot more than just praying a prayer? It's the process and the journey. Right? Sure, there's power in the decision. The decision doesn't have weight unless we journey with the one of whom we lean upon, who is our strength in the midst of weakness. And so when we're in those moments, it's fine, but then we walk more and more, and when we face trials, and then the harder the trial gets, you know, it becomes tempting to look back. Man, life was so much easier when I was enslaved. Now, I'm trusting that nobody in here has ever been a slave before, at least physically. But I'm here to tell you that every single one of us was a slave once spiritually. And some of us may have fallen into that temptation to leave the liminal space and actually put the spiritual car in reverse and kick Carrie Underwood out of the car so she won't sing Jesus Take the Wheel. Just pull it in reverse and do like the Biggie Smalls video and the biggie, 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 all the way back to the way life used to be lived. Sorry, I have to use these examples, otherwise you all won't connect, man. Come on, help me out. And so we reverse that spiritual car back into the way life used to be lived. And the things that used to enslave us go, welcome back to your chains. And sometimes those chains aren't a what, sometimes they're a who. I don't say this in judgment because I too face those same temptations in those sorts of times. Don't think that just because I'm a pastor, don't face those temptations. No, every single one of us in these moments of processing and God lighting the refiner's fire under us so that we can come out gold and he can scoop the scum off of our character so that we can be more like him, that process hurts, man. And so it's much easier to say, oh, you know what? I'll just go back to my enslavement, whatever it might be. And I'm not going to name the things that enslaved you or enslaved me but I believe that the Holy Spirit would highlight that for you and invite you, just keep coming through. Keep coming through. I've got you. I'm with you. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death with you. I've never left. I've got my eyes on you. I've got you, son. I've got you, my daughter. I'm reminded of this young boy earlier this week. Maybe some of you saw him on the news. AJ Alphalack, he's only 3 years old. Down in rural New South Wales, on Monday he was found by police helicopters. He was drinking water from a creek on his family's property out there in rural New South Wales. The thing that got my spirit is that he's on the autism spectrum, been missing for 4 days. And he's nonverbal. I too have a son that's nonverbal, struggles to communicate. And to see that image of from the police helicopter of him drinking out of, you know, a still stream just to keep himself sustained at 3 years old. So this little boy who isn't able to speak, he'd been last seen on Friday and was found on Monday. And his family had feared that he'd been abducted. But rescuers found AJ on the riverbank about 500 meters out of their big farm property, the vast property out in Putty. And in the footage that was shown by the New South Wales rescuers, the first thing that can be heard by those rescuers that was said, and I felt relief when they said this, they said, I've got the boy. Man, to see the delight in the mother's face, she collapsed upon the hearing, like she thought the worst for 4 days. For those of us who are parents, especially of young children, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. She just collapsed in joy. I don't know where they're at in faith, but I did hear the father yell out, Jesus, the moment that he heard that son was found. God's got AJ, God's got you. In the midst of whatever you're facing, even when you don't understand, why would you allow this to happen? He's working all things together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. Now, the verses just before that verse help us to understand the desire that God has for us to walk closely. And I want us to listen to the language here, Romans 8:26, two verses before the verse we're hammering home here. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Anybody need that help? From time to time, like right now, I need it. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Any of you ever been there? It's like, man, you're in a place of complete grief. You don't know what to pray. You're just too tired to pray. You just groan your prayer. I've been there many times. I've been there at times where just experiencing extreme grief and all I can pray is help or just cry. Just cry out to God or yell or just put a pillow in my face and just, ah! Like I know at least an ounce of how Jesus must have felt being in excruciating pain, literally excruciating pain on the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine how hypocritical it would have been? Like if one of his disciples, like say one of the ones who hardly did anything, at least in the Bible, like Bartholomew, came up to him. You know, you never hear of old Bart, you know. He comes up to Jesus like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine, you know, good old Bart just coming up for your bots, dude, just walking up to Jesus? Well, you just need to trust God and just, you know, he's going to be there for you. Like sometimes we just flippantly, you know, like tell people they're walking through literal grief and depression and anxiety. And, well, you're just going to trust God and just trust his word. Yeah, yeah, of course we know that. But, like, we're walking through some real stuff here. Can we have at least the compassion of the scriptures, of the author of the Bible, and not just the text and just throwing it up on Facebook? Well, you just need to trust God. Of course we need to trust God. But won't you trust him with me? It's the reason why Jesus died alone. Won't you walk on the journey with those who are suffering? The Spirit knows that you're suffering. And he understands that there's groaning sometimes in your weakness. He knows what you're trying to communicate. Like in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read about Hannah who's being ridiculed by Peninnah. And she's being, you know, you can't have any kids. You can't have any kids. And so Hannah's there and she's grieving. And I believe it's this sort of prayer where she just throws out words that don't make sense because she's just so exhausted from the haterism that's happening. And what convicts me as a pastor is that there's a guy by the name of Eli, who's the priest, and he thinks that she's drunk. He just straight up judges her. Hey, you shouldn't be praying like that. You should go home. Put the vailima away, man. What are you doing? You know, don't bring that stuff in here to the house of God. No. If he understood and was in the spirit, he should have known that she was grieving. He's so busy about his position that he doesn't know that all things are working together for the good of Hannah, who loves him and is called according to her purpose, and therefore Samuel was birthed. God's trying to work things out on your journey. And the next verse says, and he searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes, stands in the gap for the saints according to the will of God. And then obviously the next verse is the verse that we've been hammering home. This is the last C. Thanks for sticking with me. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are what? Called according to his purpose. Obviously, the last C is called. But called according to whose purpose, right? Are we called according to our own purpose? Or are we called according to his purpose? How ridiculous would it be if I had a cell phone, right? And all of the components that make a cell phone just laid out on the table and decided for themselves to form a cell phone. It doesn't matter how hard you try. I'm a battery. I'm going to be a cell phone. Like, no matter how hard you try, it's somebody coming from the outside who's designed it and puts the pieces together in order to form the phone and then switch it on. But how wrong would it be that once that phone is functional, that we decide, you know what? I want to build a stage like this stage here. We know it takes hammer and nails, but you know what? I don't have a hammer, so my phone is hammer time, right? And so I decided to use my phone as the hammer to build this stage. How many of you know that that's not the purpose for which it was made? Oh, but it doesn't matter how defiant the phone is. I am a hammer. No, you're not a hammer. You were not created by Samsung, or even better, by Apple, for the purposes of being a hammer that builds a stage. That's not the purpose why you were created. And so many of us try to work it out. Okay, it's going to be all good because I'm walking out in my calling. Whose calling? It's his calling, not your calling. But sometimes, you know, it's not God's calling. It's another kind of call, a little phone call from, hey, baby. Like, or maybe it's a call from, you know God's called you to do something, but you get another kind of call that kind of distracts you. Like another, like, job offer that you know is not the sort of job that you want to take. But rather than, like really sticking to what God's called you, you settle for right now rather than right. And so this is the power of that which lures us away. I want you to understand this. Look at this from Ephesians 2. Okay, open your spirit and receive this. For it is by grace you have been saved. Unmerited, undeserved favor. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from you, okay? It's not your call. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so you don't earn the gift, by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Another version says, we are God's masterpiece. Turn to somebody, encourage them tonight. You are God's masterpiece. And if it's your spouse, deepen your voice. You are God's masterpiece. If it's not your spouse, don't talk like that, all right? She's going to freak people out. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to what? To do good works. So you don't earn your salvation through works, but you are created by God for the calling for good works. And it's like the cooking show, right? God has prepared these in advance for us to do earlier. Like way before you were born, God prepared a calling for you. God has a calling for you. And you better believe the enemy has a calling for you too. And he's going to do everything to try and call you away from that calling. And sometimes it's not even a calling back towards like former addictions. Sometimes it's a calling to settle for average rather than being what God has called you to be magnificent for his glory. Because you are a masterpiece. You're not a piece of whatever. You are a masterpiece. God doesn't make junk. Do you understand this? He doesn't make trash. He makes masterpieces. And every single one of you, no matter how old or how young you are or think you are a masterpiece. See, he has prepared in us, right? He is prepared to work in us because he desires to work through us. And how does he desire to work through us? By using us in the way he's created us, in his workmanship. He has intricately designed you. And he decided to release you. Like Kanye and Drake releasing their albums, he releases you for such a time as this. Check this out. You are his masterpiece to be a conduit of the master's peace. What do I mean by that? A conduit means that things flow through you. His peace flows through you. You ever been in a room where somebody walks in the room and they just make you anxious? Anyone ever felt that way? Hopefully, I don't make you feel that way. But like you see somebody and it's like, oh no. Like you can tell that they're stressed and they bring their stress with you. Like that old Crowded House song, everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. And their weather is like that character from the Peanuts comics, the one that brings the clouds all the time, everywhere. Cloudy, Claudine, whatever her name is. But for those of us who live in the peace of God, God wants us to be conduits of that peace so that his peace flows in us and through us. We are to be non-anxious presences wherever we go. This is my final point, and I'm driving this home by just using the last two verses that Steph read. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, you have been predestined to live your life. And in his predestination, he's ordered your life to collide with a moment like this. Now, you can stay distracted if you want to. And I'm not bothered by it. It's more that you would hear the voice of God that's trying to get your attention. He's here for you. And he invites you into the space of peace because he wants to ignite within you a calling to be a vessel that would bring peace wherever you go. See, for all of my Ian youth in here, in your schools, God has called you to be a vessel of peace in your school. But it's walking in that peace, understanding that his peace needs to flow in you so that when you go into your school, you bring that peace with you. You know, I think about just different ones in here that do various jobs. You know, I think about my brother Elijah and amazing job he does catering. I hate watching his Insta stories. I always salivate all over my phone. Him and Salu just making these, like they're catering for a, you know, Samoan wedding, just a small Samoan wedding, 700 people. And they just throw all this food together and it's just amazing. But like when he walks into that room, as stressful as those times can be, him and Salu walk in as non-anxious presences in that place when they serve in their business. You know, I think about my sister Este there, you know, like who works in helping those who are in really dire situations of abuse At the end of their rope, and she helps to bring counseling to them. You better believe she's a non-anxious presence. Sure, it's hard. It's not like we don't have our own stuff that we're walking through, right? But she knows, and I've seen it in your life, Este, that you know that all things work together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. I know you love him. No, it's not like this is something that's not happening for all of us. We have the opportunity to be non-anxious presences wherever we go. Like Ali over there, you know, like training people in fitness. It's more than just training people in fitness. It's just understanding that, you know what? I'm here as a non-anxious presence. And sure, they may be coming to lift some bars, but I know one who's come to lift a cross in order that they know that they have the Prince of Peace in their lives. It's more than just being at school. It's more than just being at work. It's understanding that you are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece because he wants you to carry the master's peace wherever you go. And all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's no accident that you, in the history of your life, are listening to this message, not from me, but from your Father who loves you, who wants to tell you that he's working all things together for your good. So the question I want to ask you right now is, have you surrendered to God so that he can make all things work together for your good? The only way we're going to be able to work and walk in the way that he works things out for our good is if we surrender to him. Because if we're not surrendered to him, we're walking in accordance with our own calling. See, to acknowledge him as Lord means that he calls the shots. Does he call the shots in your life? In the way that you relate to one another? In the things that you get to do? In the way you spend your money and your time? He's working all things together for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you a moment to either reflect or you can discuss this with the people that are around you, just in groups of two or three. But I want you to be prayerful. And then in about 3 to 4 minutes, what I'll do is I'll invite our worship team to come up, and we're going to worship God and invite the Prince of Peace to lavish his love upon us as we lavish our love towards him. So Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that we get to come together and acknowledge that you are good all the time. You are faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, you're still faithful. Even when we're tempted towards former lifestyles and former decisions, Lord, you're still faithful. Even when we trip and fall, you're still faithful. And so, God, we want to leave behind old thinking. We want to leave behind old things that used to enslave us, and we want to move through the liminal space with the shepherd, the good shepherd who carries us through. Help us, God, to see that you are good and you're working all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take a moment to pray, and then we'll worship God together.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.